Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gravel Junction podcast, your meeting place for all things bikes, adventures, and the stories that follow. I'm your host, Charles Dedmer. Hello to all of you Gravel Junctioners out there. Welcome to this bonus episode, the first of hopefully many. Today I'm sitting down with none other than Mr. Boru McCullough, who some of you may or may not know over social media, but Boru is currently 3 weeks into a round-the-world bike ride. That's right, he's taken on the not-so-easy task of cycling around the world, not just for himself, although I'm sure the personal journey will be one with great lessons and experiences, but also one for charity, for the greater good, which we'll discuss in the show, as well as, you know, after the show, giving you all the details. Boru and I have been messaging back and forth, and I kind of said to him, I think it would be great to kind of have these check-ins as he travels along his route and see, you know, how he's going, check in on him, highs and lows, as well as to shine a spotlight, a regular spotlight on to the causes that he is riding for. I think it's important to have these reminders pop up. I should also at this point sort of highlight an issue I had, or I was grappling with the idea of whether I was going to put this episode out or not, due to the fact that the audio quality was far from ideal. A number of reasons: very poor Wi-Fi or internet signal for both of us. The location, as you'll hear, Boru is in his little Bosnian hotel late on Saturday night with a thumping disco in the background. So for large portions of the conversation, it sounds like it was recorded with one of those 1973 cassette recorders while outside of a disco while underwater. So yeah, there's an edginess to it. There's a rawness to it. You know, we're pushed so much to put out these perfect products, and initially I was like, oh, you know, the quality's not where it should be. But at the same time, the more I listened to it, the more I realized the authenticity that was added with these sounds and gargles and bangs. You know, there's Boru 3 weeks into this incredible feat that he's taking on, thousands of miles away from friends and family, in this little hotel room in a town neither of us can pronounce. And he's taking the time, I must be exhausted, I'm sure he was, it was late Saturday, taking the time to sit down and have his conversation with us. So for that reason alone, the story needed to be heard. And it was a wonderful, wonderful conversation, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. But just sort of prepping the audience, shall we say, go in with an open mind, enjoy the rawness and the authenticity of it, you know, transport yourself to where Boru was at the time, and I think it really adds to it. But that's enough of that. Here's my conversation with the wonderful Boru McCullough. Enjoy. Boru, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Dude, how are you going?
Not bad. I'm pretty, I was going to say pretty tired, but I don't really know how I feel.
So you're in Bosnia at the moment, are you?
Yeah, I'm in a city, Mostar. I don't know, it makes me think of Movistar, but I don't really know the right way to pronounce it. It's a Saturday night, so I've got some banging loud music, which you put up in the background.
What's your vibe? Are you just kind of finding places as you go along, or you kind of know where you're going to be staying?
Yeah, I've just been figuring it out as I go. I was going to camp tonight, and then, my God, the heavens just opened, and then couldn't really find a good place to stop, and then before I knew it, I was in a city with no data, so I saw a hotel, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to stay there.
Yeah, call that a night, yeah. So is that kind of the thing, as you say, you're taking it day by day, so you got camping gear if you need, and then otherwise, so I guess sometimes after a long, wet day like that, just get a good night's sleep is more important.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's times when I've been camping and times when I've gone, obviously, yeah, I just need to sleep and recover really well. Not even really well. It's like it's the type of thing where it's like, you know, recovery and eating properly and all this sort of stuff, it kind of gets trumped by just riding.
Yeah, I imagine it's just you get into, by that stage, it's just sort of not survival mode, but you kind of, you're covering such massive distances. It's, you do what you can to get through, right?
Yeah, and I think that like, there's only so much that you can like plan, and that's the thing that I realized. I mean, like I made a route, but that was more for people to kind of have a visual cue of like where I was going. But the fun part is figuring it out as you go along, and the unknown.
Because where we are now, we're like what, 8-9 days in now?
No, longer than that. Way longer. I'm on like 22 days.
Has it been that? Man, it seems like just the other day you left.
I know. Time's flying so quickly. To me, it felt like the other day as well. And it was only maybe 3 days ago, I called my good friend Finley. And I was like, it kind of feels like today it started. Like, I think my body has finally like understood what I'm doing. And it's kind of...
That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, you know, you can train as much as you want, but what's the mind switch? Does it come a moment all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's this constant level of fatigue or pain or whatever that, you know, you're just going to feel every day until this is finished?
Well, I don't know. Like, I treated the beginning of it as training into it. So I didn't, you know, normally I ride, you know, a lot. Really from the beginning of June until I left, I didn't really ride at all. Because I did this race in the Czech Republic and picked up an ankle injury, and I'm not sure what it was, but like I was really worried because also I've been planning this since like mid-April.
What? Sorry, you've been planning this since mid-April? Like you've only started planning this in April?
Yeah. But I just couldn't sleep for a couple of weeks, and it was playing in my mind the thought of doing it. You know, I want to kind of just go and start the thing.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. Like, I can think my way out of it, you know, almost think too much about it, where it's like, if I got the idea, I need to kind of just jump in at the deep end, otherwise I might chicken out.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I could have told myself, I could have kept it in my head that I wanted to do it. And before I know it, it would be 4 years down the line and I would have never have done it. My parents and a few close friends that I was thinking of doing it, and they're all... like incredibly supportive, and I was like, well, I've told people now, so
that's often the case. I do the same, man. Like I put it out there. It's like, even with this podcast, I told enough people that I couldn't really back out of it. I was like, okay, cool, we're doing podcasts now.
Yeah, exactly. Integrity is important. You can't go around saying that you're going to do something and then, like, you know.
Exactly. And like on a, just like where you are now, 20-21 days in, like how's the body and the mind feeling?
It's been a real mix. Like the first, like I said, it was only maybe three. It was. I was at the top of this climb a few days ago, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is started. Like, you know, physically, you start it and you're like, I hadn't ridden in a while, so it was very tiring. So I was kind of not really. I kind of have a target distance that I wanted to do per day, which kind of quickly went out the window as I was just like, actually, I'm just going to kind of chill out for the beginning. But like I had my first rest day yesterday, which was basically mostly spent sleeping.
Planned or?
No, I just felt really shit the day before. I was just pushing into a headwind. I only did like 70K and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna stop for the day. And then the next morning, I was like, all right, I'll do a couple of things before I set off. And then it got to like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and it was like, actually, you know what? I'm just not going to ride today. And it was such a good decision to have that.
Yeah, I think the benefit of doing something like that can be tenfold, right? You know, just mentally, physically, sometimes you just got to be strong enough to stop.
Yeah, and, you know, it's almost like I think because the time frame that I told myself I wanted to do it, I don't know if I'm going to meet that or not. So I feel like 10 minutes to have a day off. It felt, you know, I almost felt like I was wasting time by actually just like chilling out.
That's a problem with it, with a time frame, isn't it? Because you put not only the pressure on yourself, but it can almost affect your enjoyment of the journey, because you're like, I need to get there, I need to get there. And then once you take that constraint off, you maybe enjoy it more.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I don't have a hard deadline of when I need to be back. The reality is that it is open-ended. I don't have anything that I need to get back for, apart from some things that like I want to be back for.
When is your kind of, it was like 8 months more or less, right?
Yeah, I'd like to be back in April, May next year, which I probably will be. Like, you know, I had this rest day yesterday and today I started riding and I was like, wow, I feel great. Like in the leg, it's weird how over these 20 days, the bike, I think I messed this to you, like the bike gone from feeling so heavy on that first day.
Well, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask. Like, how have you found the equipment? Has there been something that was like good surprise, bad surprise, sort of just, or hasn't really been tested yet?
I'd used most of it before. Like, I mean, like kit wise, like shoes, you know, like I trust the shoes. I've used those for a while. Like the kit, you know, I know and trust. The bike Specialized is kind of like a recent sponsor, so that's like it was really my first time riding the bike properly. Which has been amazing. It's actually surprised me how comfortable it is.
I mean, I've ridden that Diverge before. That little Future Shock is a wonderful little gizmo. It's amazing what it does.
Yeah, honestly, potholes want to get out of my way because I want to go towards them. Like, it just rides over anything and feels amazing.
So overall, like, you know, 21 days in, the kit and the bike, it's been an asset, not a negative as it stands. I mean, sure, you still got some pretty challenging like terrain ahead. Where would you say your equipment's going to be tested the most, you think, at the moment?
Turkey, and likely, so I'm unsure on America if I'll do the US or South America. If I do South America, it'll probably be tested there. And I'll do the Atlas Mountains. After America, I'll fly to Morocco and then cycle back to the UK from there. So it'll be properly tested there as well.
Okay, yeah, that's a proper riding over there. But I mean, I wanted to, we just kind of jump straight into here. You know, we were chatting on message, and I think it'd be awesome, and I'm sure you're doing your journal and all that, just to kind of check in every now and then when you've like got a rest day or something, just to see, you know, how the mind and body's doing, and for people back home, whoever's listening, to kind of, you know, and maybe you could just quickly, for the guys that will be listening to the show, like the mind mapping thing, I think it's important just to kind of want to give us a little rundown of, you know, why you're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, like it kind of stemmed from, like, it was what, 2020, I did the Rafa Fest 500 around Herne Hill. I was the head coach at Herne Hill, and myself and the chair of the trustees, Tim McInnes, we were like, yeah, we'll do the Fest 500 on the track. And like, we raised a bunch of money. We raised like 12 grand, and it was like the most, it was probably like the, that comes to mind, it was like one of the most, like, proudest moments of my life. Like, it felt so good to be able to raise money and like bring the company back. And that was, you know, kind of mid COVID. It was actually in whatever it was called at the time, T3, whatever it was. And basically after that, I was like, okay, there's something that I'd like to do to, you know, to raise the money again, because that was such a rewarding feeling. And yeah, so I kind of thought, then I'll ride around the world. And in doing that, I'll raise money for Mind, which is a like huge mental health charity in the UK. Because like, and it's not even just about like cycling; it's just about just getting outside and doing something. Because for me, like when I was at my worst, like I wasn't cycling at all, and I really saw kind of cycling as a part of that kind of, as a contributor to that spiral. When really, with the gift of hindsight, you kind of look back and say, okay, actually doing something outside or physical would have probably really helped me back then. So that's kind of the link between that. It's like, yeah, I'd like to do this to, you know, this kind of feat of endurance to ride around the world, because life is endurance.
Yeah, and I like that. I think that's something I can really relate to. It's amazing how I think I have a similar relationship with the bicycle, and there's been times where, you know, it's been my whole life, and then some reason I've fallen away from it and I can't even look at it. And then somehow I managed to get back on or go and be active, and you realize, like, oh my goodness, if I'd just been doing this all the time, those difficult moments probably would have been a lot more manageable, because like you say, life is an endurance. And when you look at it that way, it's these ups and downs, right? And you need to equip yourself the best way possible to sort of to deal with those ups and downs. And for a lot of people, riding a bike can do that.
Yeah, and like for me, like those, that kind of realization, because I didn't cycle for years. Like, I still coached, but I didn't ride. Like, that kind of realization that, like, this kind of long distance riding for me is really therapeutic, you know, because I just feel like, you know, life is endurance. And I used to live by, like, life is about speed. And it's about living it as quickly as you can, you know, go out with a bang. And that's really how I thought kind of my life would go, is that I'd live it fast, I'd live it short. And then that kind of, you know, with lots of things that ended up changing, and I kind of saw a future. And that's when that switched to, yeah, life is endurance. And that's why I find these, like, long distance rides so therapeutic, because it just encompasses, you know, all of those kind of trials that you go through in the everyday, in the space of, you know, X amount of hours.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. And so I know, connected to this, as you say, you're doing it for the mind charity, and there's a links. I see you're almost just about to crack over 6,000 pounds, which is amazing. So I will make sure to put in the show notes, and, you know, I think that's why, again, if we catch up regularly, see how you're going, and also just gives us another opportunity to spread the message and remind people to go and, you know, and go to donate and try and make a difference.
Yeah, it's been great how quickly that kind of, like, took up. Like, you never really know kind of what to expect. But it's been, like, so, like, heartwarming, and that means so much, that so many people, you know, whether they're, like, from the track, from family, from extended family, from, you know, friends of friends that have kind of backed it. Because, yeah, like, you know, the other day when I was feeling, like, so shit, you just go and look at that, and it's like, okay, you know, there's, like, actually, I don't need to stop. I can carry on a little bit longer.
That's awesome. That's motivating. What have been, so, like, some highlights or low points so far? Let's say highlights that, you know, in these first 3 weeks, things that have really stuck out for you.
Highlights. So seeing the Alps, yeah, for the first time, that was huge. Because I saw it before I thought I was going to see it. Like, I met a friend called Dominic at the race around Rwanda at the beginning of the year, and he lives just south of Constance in Switzerland, and he was like, oh, come stay at mine. So I kind of rerouted, and yeah, I thought I'd see the Alps in a few days down the line, and suddenly, like, I turned a corner there in front of me, and it made me, yeah, pretty emotional, because, you know, but before that, everything had been so similar to, you know, bar, say, the Black Forest in Germany. Everything was very similar to what you can get in the UK. And then I saw the Alps, and I was like, I've never ridden in the Alps before. I was like, wow, this is the first kind of test of this whole trip. So that was, I couldn't stop whooping.
I can relate, man. I remember the first, I've only been once. It was the French Alps, and you go in there, and it's just like, if you've been following the sport for years, the racing side, blah, you know, it's mythical. And then you see these things in person, and it does. It takes your breath away.
Yeah. And the other one was, it was the other day. It was like, Croatia's been really interesting. It's been so, such high highs and such low lows. You know, like, I started the other morning, I felt pretty awful, like, mentally and physically, and, like, I missed my friend being like, yeah, like, this is like pretty tough today. And I ended up, there's this one, like, there's this one climb that when I first started planning this ride, I was like, I have to do this climb. This is going to be on it. And at the beginning of the day, I thought I was at that climb, and I just felt so awful that I was like, you know what, fuck it. Like, you know, I'll just skip it out, because I didn't feel it in my legs. I didn't feel like, you know, pushing through this, you know, tough terrain, you know, walking for parts of it if I had to. I was just like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to stick to the road and go that way. And so the rest of that day, I was pretty bummed out from all of that, and, you know, kind of going round in my head, oh, should I have done that? Should I go back and do it? And then I got to this other climb, and it just turned out that I'd misjudged where that climb was, the climb that I wanted to do. So then I had this really long gravel climb, and I got to the top, and I was like, oh my god, like this is the one that I really wanted to do, and I thought I'd left it. So it was such a real confusing time, because, you know, it, mentally all that day I'd kind of left that behind me and been trying to kind of console myself in my rationale to leave it.
Yeah, you, and it's just you, yourself, and me, myself, and I in moments like that, right? And then you have these like whole conversations with yourself as you go through this roller coaster of emotions. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in Croatia, a lot of time in Montenegro as well. So there's a lot of riding there. It's weird. I've had such similar experiences. These like high and low lows, because it's not a massive cycling culture. So even from awareness on the road, but you'll see when I only dipped into Bosnia. Then once you go into Montenegro, they put so much money into the infrastructure that some of the roads and the passes there at the moment are just incredible, absolutely incredible. So that, hopefully that'll be a highlight as well.
Yeah, there's this road that goes next to like this lake.
Yeah, in the northwest-ish of the country.
Yeah. So I get that probably the day after tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
And that was another one of the roads, you know. It's weird to think that there's, you know, these highlight roads across the whole world. That's another one where it's like, I have to do it. And even because I'm meeting my friend Finley in Istanbul, and we were looking at dates for when we'd get there the other day, and I was like, oh, you know, maybe I'll just make a beeline and head straight there and miss out Montenegro. And he was like, don't miss it out.
No, Montenegro is definitely, it's a little hidden gem, that one. Like, I've some of my favorite rides I've ever done, even from the coast, in spectacular for such a tiny country. And then you dip into Albania, dip into Bosnia. It's pretty cool little country. Is that something, like, so Finley, who I know from Instagram, are you going to be doing rides with friends at various points, or just take it as it comes?
Yeah, well, so Finley's going to come out and meet me in Istanbul, and we're going to ride Turkey together.
Awesome.
And hopefully come out the other end with some pretty cool things. Should be something pretty special, which we're both looking forward to, because, you know, we've been, you know, friends for a very long time. We grew up together at Heron Hill Velodrome. And now to be kind of doing our, like, Finley put it really nicely, you know, both of our kind of biggest cycling projects we'll be doing together.
Now, that's special, man. I know Finley's work well. I actually just missed him I was in Girona for quite a while, and they were there with the team Armani guys. And it was quite a surreal moment, because so the second ever guest I ever had on my show was Sule. And I got to meet Sule in person in Girona at the same time Finley and all of them were there. And I actually messaged Finley to try and meet up and maybe have a chat with him, and it just didn't work out. But it was crazy how, you know, obviously the terrible news of what happened to Sule. I felt so grateful that at least I got to meet him in person. And I think you would have ridden with him as well, wouldn't you, in Rwanda?
No, I didn't. I didn't ride with Sule. I was like, you know, Finley spent so, you know, fair amount of time over in like East Africa and spoke very, like, you know, highly of all of them. And I was, you know, obviously devastating news, and sad, because like I've heard so much about him, you know, and listened so much about, you know, what kind of cycling means to him and what he wants to do with, you know, cycling in East Africa. And I was, you know, we'll unfortunately never get to meet him.
Yeah. No, but I think it's listening to like what you're doing now, mate. It's pretty cool. But I think I only met him through my show and then very briefly in Girona, and he was just one of those people that are just like just getting on with it, you know, just people doing things for others. And it really, I believe that it's one of the best ways to go about life, isn't it? When you do those things for other people, you just, oh, it just energizes you. And I'm sure you're starting that journey now with what you're doing.
Yeah, I think so. It's just nice to, it's kind of like, it's the reason why like I coach as well.
I can't wait. I'll hopefully be living just down the road, mate, for when you pull into Herne Hill next year. So it'd be pretty cool to see along the way. But as I said, if you're keen, it would be awesome to check in every now and then and just kind of see how the story's going along. And, you know, more ears and eyes on your project, I think the better, because I think it's an awesome thing you're doing. Very excited to see what you and Finley are going to get up to, I think, because that's going to be gold. Do you think you'll be having like other rest days, or again, you just take it by as it comes?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll have a few days in Istanbul before, just to kind of gather things and send some stuff back as well, like before kind of smash that, and also to give a few more days for my my visa for Iran has been pending for quite a while.
Okay. Yes, I did read that somewhere. That's a place that's really high on your list, but it's all visa dependent.
Yeah, and it's you have to like nominate a consulate around the world to go and pick it up from, and I put Istanbul, so it's kind of like if I don't get it by the time I've left Istanbul, it's like I'm not going to Iran. So I'll kind of one more day, and then kind of to be honest, I don't think I'll be able to go, like unless something like miraculous happens. But I'm keeping my hopes up because it's a part of the world which I think is, so interesting.
Yeah, it'd be pretty special to go and see that, especially by bike. I've, the stories I've read of people who've gone through there by bicycle, just the most amazing, welcoming, warm people. It's
yeah, and like, yeah, same. Like I've read so many things that said like out of all the countries. You know, people that have really traveled to nearly every country in the world and said, like, the hospitality in Iran is, like, is unmatched. And it's hard because a lot of places I haven't read, like, other people's experiences or researched it in too much detail of what it's like, because I want to just experience it for myself for the first time. And kind of with, like, an unbiased view. But Iran is one of the places where I couldn't help but, read a lot about... Which is what put it, so high up on that list. So it will be gutting if I can't go.
Fingers crossed that it does work out, take that. Hopefully it does come through. But so listen, I've taken enough of your time. I'm sure you want to kind of chill and catch up with everyone.
Yeah, cheers. I'll sleep well after today.
I'm sure. All right, dude. Nice one.
Yeah, wicked. All right. Catch you soon. See you.
And there you go. The wonderful Boru, coming to us live from somewhere in Bosnia. For those interested, I will do my best to find out which Eastern European disco was playing in the background and try and put it in the show notes, so you can purchase that soundtrack for yourself. it was great catching up and looking forward to hopefully doing the same over the next couple of weeks and months, checking in fairly regularly to track his progress, which you can also do live. I'll put the links in the show notes to the tracking of Boru and his progress, as well as to the Mind charity that he's riding for, and all the other connections and companies that are helping to support Boru on this pretty amazing adventure. I hope you enjoyed that little show and look forward to bringing you the next one and regular programming as and when it happens. As always, thanks for joining us. We'll chat soon. Bye.